grateful to those who are not able to be with us right now and going to try and make it available throughout the week for those who want to see it. So during sharing time, whatever you choose to share, please be aware that it might be seen and heard by people outside of our congregation. I realized that we need to give each other a sense of grace, or at least give me a sense of grace, as we find ourselves learning what it means to worship virtually. So I freely offer it to everyone who's a part of this service today. We won't be singing together. You are all muted right now. Again, if you have a part in the service or later during sharing time, please unmute yourself. And then when you're done, remute yourself. Doug will be leading our sharing time a little bit later. And in order to make that run fairly smoothly, we're asking, if you're able to figure it out, to please access the chat button. There's a chat icon that looks like a bubble with three dots in it. And if you click on that and then just type in your name and sharing, that way it will give Doug a sense of who plans on sharing, and he will be able to call on you one by one so that you can unmute when it's your turn and speak when it's your turn. And if you can't figure out how to do it, Doug will give you an opportunity to share as well. So just please be aware of that. So let's begin. This is our fourth Sunday of Lent, our journey through the wilderness, and what a wilderness it has been. And we come this week, as we have looked at different symbols of Lent, and we come and enter into a time of the cup. The service will have different aspects of holding the cup of our lives, realizing that in this time of anxiety, that we turn again and again and again to Christ as the one who saves us and redeems us and welcomes us. So as we begin this service today, as you found your way onto Zoom, either through the phone or on the computer, I invite you to just take a full breath with me. Welcoming the Spirit of Christ here among us. I sent out the bulletin via email earlier this week, and we will be following that. If you have it, you're welcome to read along. But I invite you now to the call to worship. So hear these words. O God, into our bottomless anxiety, into our fearful bewilderment, our fretful minds and aching hearts, you come, O Holy One, reminding us we do not walk through the wilderness alone.
Welcoming Christ light, you walk right into our hand-wringing and hand-washing, and with calming serenity, you breathe peace.
Soak your message of hope into our anxiety-ridden lives this day, freeing us to know you in all aspects of our lives, worshiping as ones who find our being in you. Amen. Well, I have the peace lamp here with me, and I offer this prayer that some of you have seen. It's a prayer that was written just this week. And I offer this poem prayer as a prayer for the world. It's by Lynn Unger, called Pandemic. What if you thought of it as the Jews consider the Sabbath, the most sacred of times, cease from travel, cease from buying and selling. Give up, just for now, on trying to make the world different than it is. Sing, pray, touch only those to whom you commit your life. Center down. And when your body has become still, reach out with your heart. Know that we are connected in ways that are terrifying and beautiful. You could hardly deny it now. Know that our lives are in one another's hands. Surely that has become clear. Do not reach out your hands. Reach out your heart. Reach out your words. Reach out all the tendrils of compassion that move invisibly where we cannot touch. Promise this world your love, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, as long as we all shall live. Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in the green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Okay, so children usually experience the service a little differently than adults, especially if you can't read the order of service in the bulletin. It might feel a little bit chaotic. So I invite us all to experience church as children today. We all get to come forward for children's time because we're all in the same place relative to our screens. So kids, that's all of us. I wanted to think about some of the themes that we are going to go over today. When Kate and I share our reflections, we're going to be talking about two specific scripture passages. One of them, Gloria just read for us. That one talks about God as a shepherd. And so I wonder if we could start with some brainstorming. What might God as a shepherd be like? Here's a little sheep. You might be able to stir your mind what yourself as a sheep would be and how God as a shepherd might be. So if you are able to type, or if you have a grown-up nearby who's able to type, maybe put into the chat function what you think of when you think of God as a shepherd. I was thinking over the last few days that a shepherd is watching out for a sheep, but it can't necessarily guarantee that all the sheep will be happy or content or even safe, but the shepherd does its best to provide those things. It's kind of an interesting relationship. It's not guaranteeing safety or survival or happiness, but it's trying its best to make sure that's the case for the sheep. Anyone else have any things in the chat that they'd like to add about what God as a shepherd might be? Or you could unmute yourself too, if you want to live dangerously. Okay, so Ruth shares that her friend who is a shepherd is helping one of her sheep die very comfortably this weekend. It's kind of a hospice situation, I guess. she's taking care of that sheep's new lamb and raising her with a bottle. So as a very, very real way of walking with someone at the end of their life and walking with someone at the beginning of life. Faith shared vigilante. Oh, I don't know if you want to say more about that, Faith. What a shepherd might be like in that regard. Any other thoughts about this illustration of God as a shepherd? If not, we'll move on to the next one. Be thinking about that, though. There's going to be more references, I think, to sheep and shepherds throughout our service today. So our next passage is from Matthew's Gospel. And in that, we are invited to consider God's cup. This is a cup. Cups are used for lots of different kinds of things. They might hold milk or juice or water. They might be used to provide nourishment for plants or to add something to a recipe that you're making. I'm guessing that you have other ideas about what ways cups are used. This is a little bit harder one to think about how our relationship with God might be connected to a cup. Maybe how we perceive the cup changes how we perceive God and how we experience that. Okay, so we've got two things here, kids, today. We've got the shepherd or the sheep, and we've got a cup. Keep those in your mind as we continue to worship together. Thanks.
Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked a favor of him. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Declare that these two sons of mine will sit, one on your right hand and one on your left, in your kingdom." But Jesus answered, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink?" They said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard it, they were angry with those two brothers. But Jesus called to them and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. It would not be so among you, but whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many."
Thanks, Gloria. Pastor Kate's going to share on the Matthew passage that you just read here coming up, and I'm going to share a short reflection on the song that was already read for us. I've been thinking a lot this week about the role that context plays in how we understand scripture. I think when I am in a really positive or healthy place, I read a passage like "The Lord is my shepherd" and think lots of warm and fuzzy thoughts about the ways that I'm protected and safe and cared for. When I'm in a place of discomfort or pain, I feel like a longing for that kind of shepherding that the passage seems to indicate. There's this weird middle space that also occurs where I'm not exactly sure how to live into the scripture because I'm feeling both a mixture of happiness or joy and also pain. This coronavirus situation that we're living in has put us all into very different kinds of contexts. I have a friend who's a truck driver who was lamenting that he can no longer pull off at most rest stops and get a bite to eat or take a shower because a lot of them are closed right now. He's experiencing this in a very different way than those of us who are in our homes who have access to our showers or to food in a very different kind of way. I think about God as a shepherd, and I'm drawn to that. I'm drawn to that image of someone walking with me, hoping the best for me, providing the care and support that they might be able to provide. But again, like I mentioned in the children's time, not necessarily a guarantee. I think that this passage is difficult for me, depending on, again, how I am experiencing my life at any given time. I've been thinking a little bit about that middle space, the times when we are not necessarily hurt or not necessarily thriving. And I think that's a perfect time for the Lent season. Lent is middle space as well. Lent is moving from life to death. We're not quite at the cross yet. We're also not sort of in the early stages of Jesus's teaching. And it's a middle space where we navigate. That middle space is something that a lot of theologians and writers are drawn to. Some people call that sacred space. There's a pastor at Stahl Mennonite here in Allegheny Conference. She likes to talk about God in the chaos. It's easy to understand God when we are joyful or when we are hurting, but God in the middle is chaotic, and she likes to think about or encourage us to lean into the God of the middle space. When we are sitting at home here with coronavirus, most of us, I think, are symptom-free. We're in a middle space. We're not living our full healthy lives. We're also not sick or ill necessarily, and we're kind of trapped in that in-between. excuse me. For our family this week, it's been really fascinating to try and experience play for our kids. It's been at times really easy and times a little bit more challenging. They were able to go out this week and stand across the street from some good neighbor friends and play charades from a very safe road width distance. They sang songs back and forth. And in that moment, I felt myself feeling both this wonderful sense of life and also some sadness that there was this distance between them. A safe distance, but one that prevented them from fully interacting in the same ways that they normally do. I think it's similar to this kind of Zoom experience this morning. It's wonderful that we have this opportunity, but it also doesn't quite feel exactly like what we would hope. When I think about middle spaces, I often am drawn back to wilderness stories in the Bible. And I'm drawn there for one specific reason. My Hebrew professor in seminary talked about the poor translation of the word wilderness or desert. He said in the Middle East, specifically the Holy Land, that word wilderness or desert should really be translated as a semi-arid steppe. It's a middle space between the desert on one side and the land of good and plenty on the other. And if you've ever been to Israel, Palestine, you know that there are places where you can be on a plateau where you can see the Negev, the desert, off in the distance with this sort of brown haze. And you can see the coastal area with its blue life, death on one hand and life on the other. But when we wander in that middleness or when we travel in that wilderness, we are in that tension between those two spaces. Death is in sight, life is in sight, and we are there sort of walking in between. I like to think about that as I try and think about navigating middle spaces as we navigate Lent, as we navigate this time, I think, too, as a community, trying to figure out what it means to live fully into this new reality. I'm discovering that my faith can be simple and easy when I'm in the life space, and my faith can be challenging, but also, I think, easier to process when I'm near that death or sickness space. It's the middle space, I think, where I have to encourage myself to try and figure out what God is calling me to, what I can learn about the way God moves in the middle spaces. Maybe.
This is Matt. Am I able to be heard? Sign from Ben, maybe? I lost Ben. Kate, can you hear me?
We can hear you okay.
Okay, great. There you go. Super. I got some feedback. Lara, unfortunately, isn't feeling well this morning, so she won't be able to join me, but I'm going to be singing Praise the One Who Breaks the Darkness, and that's number one out of Sing the Story, if anyone wants to, has that book on hand and wants to look at the lyrics along, so. Praise the one who breaks the darkness with the liberating light. Praise the one who frees the prisoner, turning blindness into sight. Praise the one who preached the gospel, healing every dread disease, calming storms and feeding thousands with the very bread of peace. Praise the one who blessed the children with the strong yet gentle word. Praise the one who drove out demons with a piercing two-edged sword. Praise the one who brings cool water to the desert's burning sand. From the well comes living water, quenching thirst in every land. Praise the one true love incarnate, Christ who suffered in our place. Jesus died and rose for many, that we may know God by grace. Let us sing for joy and gladness, seeing what our God has done. Praise the one redeeming glory, praise the one who makes us one. Let us sing for joy and gladness, seeing what our God has done. Praise the one redeeming glory, praise the one who makes us one. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Matt. Thanks to everyone who's been a part. Like Ben said, I am going to focus on the Matthew passage that Gloria read. Can you drink the cup that I am about to drink? That's the central question that I think Jesus asks here. And it's here in our gospel reading. This takes place just when Jesus is about to enter Jerusalem, the final chapter of his life. That's when he asks the brothers and their mother this question: can you drink this cup of mine, this cup of suffering and pain? Well, I wonder if James and John had the slightest idea of what was coming. And if instead of saying, yeah, we're in with this nativity that was really more about power and position than discipleship, if they had any idea what life would soon look like, would they return Jesus' question with their own, do we have a choice? We're living right now in a time stripped of a lot of choices. stay home, stay inside, don't do this, don't do that, no school, no work. We all know it. We're living with it along with the rest of the world. And it's what's needed of us in such a time as this. But in other ways, we have lots of choices, vitally important choices that impact our lives as followers of Christ. Our choice may be how we drink the cup of our lives here and now, how we live into these times of social distancing and self-quarantines, and supporting those who are vulnerable, alone, frightened by what this means for their lives. That's our choice at this time. And I wonder, might that be the cup Christ offers to us today? Well, I came back this week to the last book that Henry Nouwen, who was a Dutch theologian and priest, the last book that he wrote before he died. It's called Can You Drink the Cup? Nouwen was once a Harvard professor and a well-known author, and he chose to spend the last 10 years of his life living with people with profound developmental disabilities at a L'Arche community in Canada. It was there that he celebrated communion daily with his small community. He prepared meals. He fed those unable to feed themselves. He helped them shower and shave and get dressed. And it's where he was deeply blessed by their presence. And I want to share a few of his ideas this morning. And then later this week or next, I'll come back to it, I hope, in short little emailed videos, fleshing it out more as we live into this Sabbath time. So as Nouwen lived among his community, he realized that the questions they were living in were not just, can you drink the cup that Jesus drank? But can you empty it? Can you drink it to the bottom? Can you taste all the joys and sorrows? Can you live your life to the full, whatever it brings? Nouwen says that drinking the cup of Christ, this cup of our lives, requires first holding, then lifting, and then drinking the cup. He says that is the full celebration of being human. But it begins with holding the cup of our lives. And that means looking critically at what we are living. In looking at what we are living, it requires a courage, because sometimes what we may find may frighten us. Simply holding the cup of our lives, it's a discipline, it's a challenge. We are a thirsty people who want to start drinking at once. But I wonder if right now we can restrain our impulse to drink and put both of our hands around the cup and ask ourselves, what am I given to drink? What is in my cup? We're in a strange time, a liminal space, like Ben talked about, that gives us opportunity right now. Perhaps you have the opportunity in your days to just take a few moments and slow down and notice, what is in that cup that Christ hands to me at this time? How am I living out these days? So today I invite you to simply hold the cup of your life, to slow down and notice what's here. Maybe take some time to observe it. We have to hold our own cup and dare to say, this is my life, the life I have to live as well as I can. We each carry sorrows, personal sorrows, and right now, more than ever, the sorrows of the world and the joys as well. Seeing the daffodils, seeing the forsythia blooming, I don't know if you've noticed how good it feels to look out the window and to see someone walking their dog, or how greeting a neighbor might put a smile on your face. Can you drink the cup that I am about to drink? Jesus asked his friends. They answered yes, but really they had no idea what he was talking about. Because at that time, that cup that Jesus held was a cup of sorrows, his own and those of the whole human race. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, just days after this conversation with James and John, Jesus throws himself on the ground and prays, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." Those closest friends of him, they were there asleep, unable to stay awake and join him in his sorrow. The cup, this cup that we share with Christ, it has plenty of sorrow, but that's not all. The good news for us is that even in the garden, a time of immense loneliness, Jesus possesses a trust beyond betrayal. He possesses a love beyond all fears. It was his intimate communion with his Father that made him hold on to the cup and pray, "But not what I want, but what you want." Jesus doesn't throw the cup away in despair. No, he holds on to his cup, embracing it. Jesus knows he is one with his Father. He knows he walks this journey accompanied. Jesus knows he is never alone. I hope in this time of isolation that we each know we are never alone. As we hold these cups, each of our own cups, in uncertain times, scary times, ever-changing times, we are never alone. Christ, who held his cup, is here with us as we hold ours. I invite you now to hear this song that a friend shared with me this week, and I have found myself listening to over and over. It's called "We Are Not Alone," and I offer it to you now.
For God. We are not alone, we are not alone, we are not alone.
as we move towards the end of our service, I want to let you know that I will stay on this Zoom call after our service if you'd like to check in. Also, please know that if you'd like a check-in, I've been trying to check in with many of you by phone or email, but I welcome conversation. So please let me know and we can have a private Zoom conversation if you'd like. We will also, this past Friday, we had a sharing and prayer time at noon. We're going to continue to do that weekly, but it will be moved to Wednesday at noon. And I will send an email with that invitation. But please know that we look for ways to connect with one another. If there are other announcements, I'm going to ask you to just put them in the chat for one another. And as we go forth today, as we go into the rest of our day, holding these cups, the cups of our lives, know that you are not alone. And I offer this benediction. Brothers and sisters, my siblings in Christ, may you go in love, for love alone endures. May you go in peace, for it is a gift from God. And may you go with courage, for we cannot go where God is not. Amen, amen, amen. Go in. Amen.
Thank you for including me.
Good to be with you all.
Could Sally send that link around for the sewing of masks? Did you hear me?
I did. I'm going to text Sal. I will. If she's not.
I don't know if she's still on or not.
Sally's muted. So if you can unmute her.
Sorry, yeah, I'm muted so that the tiny human is less distracting. Yeah, I can look for that link. Let's see here.
I keep going around the internet trying to see what the best one is.
Also, if anybody has any of the R95 masks, any of you who are like do-it-yourselfers, if you have those in the basement, then and you don't need them, the hospital's accepting donations of those.
Mine are used.
I don't know if anybody heard me or not.
Yeah. I put the link that someone posted on the chat for those masks.
See it. Good.
And there was another one. I'm not sure if they're the same or not. I'm seeing if I can find. I don't know really much of anything about sewing, so I don't know which ones are best. Yeah, actually, I can only find the one. So yeah, so that's the thing that was posted on the Facebook group for those of you who are sewing savvy. And if you click on it, does it come up okay? Does someone want to check?
Yes, Sally, it came up.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
Thanks.
Someone asked about the link for the song God is With Us. I will send that out via sharing. It's also in, the link is in the sermon, which will go on the printed version online on our website, but that can be tricky to find. So I will send that link out in case people want it.